question comes from the line of David Ubben of ESPN.com.
Paul, I thought he responded pretty well after being down early. What were your impressions of how you guys played after being down 16-7?
I thought the second and third quarters we played very well. We give up the safety and then we have a turnover and they jump out to a first quarter lead and we were a little listless on the sideline and then we get the turnover calls by Jake Knott and football team really responded on both sides of the ball and the next 30 minutes or so I thought we really dominated the football game.
How much of that do you feel like comes from you guys' experiences last year?
Well, I think it's a culmination of experiences from 3 years because we've got so many players, David, that have been playing that time since they were true freshmen or redshirt freshmen, and we're finally a veteran football team, and we act like we acted like it in training camp, we acted like it in the pregame locker room, and I thought we acted like it over the course of the football game.
Next question comes from the line of Wendell Barnhouse of Big12Sports.com.
Hey, Paul, how close was Shontrell Johnson to not playing football again?
Well, in talking to the surgeon and their medical team, with everything going as smooth and well as it went, I don't think in the surgeon's mind it was probably ever going to be a question, but everything had to go that way. And then it was a decision by he and his mother whether he wanted to take whatever little risk was left, which the surgeons felt there was none, and continue to play. And in Chandrell's mind, he was always going to play again. So you're dealing with an injury like that. Yeah, I think there's always a good percentage that he's not, but medically speaking, I think they were always full speed with the procedure going well.
I think with how White and Woody played last year after Chantrell went down and then, you know, his injury and everything, I think most of us kind of, you know, put him as an afterthought. And then he comes in the first game and has a career-high rushing yardage. Is that a pretty good story, you think, just, you know, the idea that a guy's career is kind of in jeopardy, then he, you know, first game he gets back after the injury has a big game for you guys?
I think it's a tremendous story. Most people, I believe, would come back tentative from a surgery like that. And from the first day he put the pads back on in that very first practice, he's never been that easy. He's always been and acted and played like the player he was before. And there's a reason he was our starter a year ago.
You guys, had a pretty tough opener, and now you get to play the in-state rival and go on the road. Was that good to have that kind of a challenging game in week one when you have to go up against, go face Iowa?
It's good when you win it, Wendell.
Yeah.
I believe we were the only Big 12 team that was an underdog in the first game, and a big part of that is the schedule. We played a very, very good Tulsa football team that we believe will contend for the Conference USA Championship, and to face adversity, to fight through it, to come out and win the ball game by 15 points, we're excited about our start. Now, that one doesn't mean anything as you go into your second week's preparation, and you just got to get right back to work.
Thanks, Paul.
Your next question comes from the line of Tim Griffin of San Antonio Express.
Hey, Paul, I'm curious if you've had a chance to check the film of Iowa. How has Greg Davis calling plays for them changed the Hawkeyes and their mentality?
Well, I don't think their mentality has changed a whole lot. You know, Coach Ferentz is very involved with the offense over there. They're still going to be a run team, and then the running back ran for 150 yards, and they've got great play action off of that run game. They're going to take a number of shots still and then challenge you down the field. I think there's a lot more similarities to what they've been in previous years than there are differences.
Your Your next question comes from the line of Steve Batterson.
Good morning, Paul. Could you talk about the contributions that Brett Bucher has made to the program over the years?
Well, the contribution he made Saturday was very evident when he took a couple bad snaps or marginal snaps and got the ball and got it placed and we got points out of it. We were 100% in our kicking game with 5 extra points and a field goal, and he was a big part of that. You're talking about a guy that's an elected captain of a football team as a holder and long snapper and walk on. That tells you how special this kid is.
Your next question comes from the line of Blair Kirkhoff of Kansas City Star.
Paul, you've had so many big victories at Iowa State in both tenures. I'm wondering if there's a different feeling when that big victory comes over Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're playing a rivalry game, I think there's heightened emotions and excitement and reward that go along with that, as well as the pain of the defeat. I know the first 2 years back here, we got our butts handed to us, and we were never close in those football games, and that pain is probably a little bit more severe as well. But last year was a fun game, and both teams left that field exhausted. And any time you're part of a competition like that, there's great reward that goes along with it.
Thanks, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Weiser of Athens Banner Herald.
Hi, Coach. I want to ask you, from your perspective of having been defense coordinator at Auburn in 2008, how you think Missouri will do offensively in its first year in the new league, going up against SEC defenses week in and week out?
Well, I think they'll do just fine. They've got a lot of wrinkles. Missouri was one of the hardest teams in the Big 12 to defend because they truly used the entire width of the field. All spread offenses are designed to do it. Some do extremely well, and some don't necessarily. And Missouri did. They really make you defend the length and width, and do it with a number of crazy formations. And I think the SEC defensive speed is tremendous. But I think there's enough there that Missouri counters it with scheme and also personnel. And I'm one of the guys that thinks Missouri and A&M both will do. Very, very competitively in the SEC right away.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Kevin Longquist of Rattle and Hum Sports.
So, can you just give your summation of what you saw on Steel Jams since you had a chance to review the film? Obviously, he's played for you last year, but just your overall assessment of what you saw Saturday against Tulsa.
Well, he missed a couple things, and the critical piece is always something a coach sees first. Some run reads that could have resulted in bigger gains for us, and a couple balls he threw. Needed a little bit better location, but all in all, I think he was much more composed than he was a year ago. His completion percentage was over 70%, which is outstanding. He directed our offense, and there's no doubt he was in charge. And for his first game back, very pleased overall with his production.
What do you think that does for the rest of the players in the huddle when he has that kind of percentage, and as you said, was in charge?
It's calming, and it's also confidence building for the team and for the offensive unit. I think you saw that take place over the course of 60 minutes in the first football game, and now it's our responsibility as a program to build upon that.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Tim Griffin.
Hey, Paul, you guys faced a stretch game in your first game out. Many BCS programs prefer to take a less challenging task when they go out in the first game. Tell me what you feel like you get from that, and how much better do you feel going into the Iowa game, the fact that you had to get ready and play a team like Tulsa?
Well, Tim, I think the first game, you have a decent feel for your team. If you've been in the program like us now for 4 years, I mean, we knew that we were more talented than we've been the three previous years, and with that talent, we felt we could be a better football team. But until you line up and start playing other people you don't know, getting the opportunity to play a very good Tulsa football team helps us to gain confidence and credibility with your players. You practice 29 times before that first game, and you come out and lay an egg. The first people to lose credibility are the coaches, because you've been selling things and you've been coaching things, and this is the way we got to do it to be successful. And if you come out and you're not successful, you lose credibility. So you're happy with that, with the victory, and you're very happy getting that against an accomplished team like the University of Tulsa.
What also do you feel like it carries over as you get ready for a second game, and especially one that's going to be even more of a stretch?
When you come back on Sunday, you always practice better after a win. You have the kids' attention, the energy level is high, and they're ready to get back to work. And it was that way yesterday as we go into the second game on the road, in a very tough place to play as a 4-point underdog.
Thank you.
No other questions for Mr. Rhodes.
Yes, thanks for your time, and good luck this week.